Hi, this is Angie Horn. I'm with the National Wildlife Refuge Association. I am the SoCal Regional Refuge Partnership Specialist, and I'm sitting here today with Ben McHugh, who is the Executive Director of Outdoor Outreach, and he's one of our SoCal partners. So, Ben, thank you for joining me on this Refuge Radio podcast.
Thanks for the opportunity. I'm excited.
Great. So tell us a little bit about the mission of Outdoor Outreach and how you came to be involved in the organization.
Of course. So the mission of Outdoor Outreach is to connect youth to the transformative power of the outdoors. And so what that means on the ground is every day we are taking adventures across the San Diego region and beyond and connecting youth to what they can do and what they can be throughout this incredible outdoor medium that we have. So whether it's out on the water, kayaking, or it's surfing or snorkeling, or it's going mountain biking or hiking. It's all about giving youth new opportunities to see, feel new things, connect with one another in new ways, and really learn more about themselves and about their environment.
Great, thank you. So Ben, how did you get involved with Outdoor Outreach?
Sure. So I was actually recruited by the founder of Outdoor Outreach, who founded the organization in 1999. And prior to Outdoor Outreach, I'd been working for a coastal conservation nonprofit called Wild Coast that works across the U.S.-Mexico border in between San Diego and Tijuana. And I was running their border program, so looking at innovative ways to help clean up the Tijuana River, including, you know, the pollution that affects the Tijuana Sloughs National Wildlife Refuge.
So you've always been sort of a coastal kid?
I have. I've been incredibly privileged by, having grown up by the coast. I grew up in Santa Cruz, California, and going to the ocean and the beach was just a part of my childhood, which is incredible. And then a little later on, my parents actually moved down to Central America, to Costa Rica. And so I went to high school there and again got to explore a totally different type of coastal environment, you know, a tropical one. And just fell in love. And so really for me, my connection to the outdoors and to the coast has inspired me across kind of my academic career. When I was 18, I came to San Diego for the first time to go to UC San Diego to study ecology. And then I ended up staying.
Wow, that's wonderful. So how did the connection to the Urban Refuge Project come about? Were you here when that program was established?
I was, and I had actually worked with the refuge manager, Andy Ewan, prior to that in my past role. And so, you know, I remember actually surfing with Andy one day and talking with him about my new role as executive director of Outdoor Outreach and the amazing work we're doing, mostly with underprivileged youth who don't have a lot of opportunities to go out into the outdoors and experience the things that we were experiencing in that moment where we were out surfing and, you know, seeing the shorebirds and the seals playing. And so just telling him, you know, how strong I feel the connection is between one's connection and enthusiasm for the outdoors and one's ability to become an environmental steward and be able to protect these places in which we play.
So it's serendipitous.
I think it really is. And then that's when Andy shared with me, you know, he'd been working on this project about, how could we engage more of the local community here in San Diego in the wildlife refuges. And it sounded like a perfect fit. And so when the time was right, I met with Andy and his staff and we discussed, you know, what could a partnership look like? And so we started it slowly, but it was really powerful. I remember one specific outing that we did out of Sweetwater Marsh. And it was for a group of students at Morse High School here in San Diego, which is probably about 5 miles from San Diego Bay. And yet the grand majority of those kids had never been to San Diego Bay, much less on San Diego Bay in a kayak. And so we were taking out kids there. And it was really about exposing them to a new environment, a new experience. And we had worked with the school psychologists to recruit kids who really needed a lot of support, who were going through a lot of challenges and trauma in their lives. And we saw this as an opportunity to engage them in something positive through the outdoors, through the wildlife refuge. And, you know, after a day kayaking, we took them back to the refuge office and we had lunch. And then we kind of unpack that experience. You know, what were they feeling in that moment out on the water? What did they see? What did they feel? How were they supporting one another? And, you know, they made these incredible connections with, you know, the feeling of being vulnerable, you know, being out on the water in a kayak for someone who doesn't have a strong swimming ability, with some of these other things they were facing in their life. And they made the strong connection around, all right, if I can do this, if I can overcome my fears, go out on the water in a kayak with others who I don't know, you know, can I also face some of these other fears I have in my life? And so that's really gets at the heart of our work at Outdoor Outreach, which, you know, is how can we connect this amazing resource that we have in the environment and in our outdoors here in San Diego with critical community needs of the populations that are most vulnerable.
Great. So it sounds like cultural competency is a major factor in your identifying your target audience, you'd say?
It's huge. Okay. In San Diego, we have such a diverse population. Right here at Outdoor Outreach, we serve about 1,700 individual youth a year, and they speak over 30 languages. Many are recent arrivals to the country from the Middle East, from Southeast Asia, from Latin America. And they come with just a wealth of past experiences, and it's really incredible to be able to share our outdoors here in San Diego with them as a way of kind of introducing them to their new home here in San Diego for some of the recent arrivals. But we're really aware that in order to do that well, we need to be able to engage them where they're at. And so the way in which we do that, in which we offer, you know, not only cultural competency, but cultural humility around, you know, being really open to youth with different experiences, is that we have a really diverse instructor base, where over half of our instructors are graduates of our program. And so they're the ones, they speak Chaldean and Arabic and Spanish and Vietnamese, and they're able to connect at a very, very fundamental level with the youth that we serve, because they've been in that exact same place of coming into the program, not having done any of the activities we're doing. And so the first message they tell them is like, listen, I know what you're going through. It's exciting. It's also challenging. I was in that exact same, you know, kayak, or on that exact same surfboard, or, you know, on that same climb, and I felt those same things. And I think that gives the youth that we serve a lot of confidence in, you know, their ability to feel comfortable with our organization.
Terrific. One of the things I noticed was working with military kids, which is something that spoke to me because I grew up as a military brat. And it's very disconcerting to, you know, sort of within your own country, you're always putting yourself in a different sort of environment. And so that sort of engagement is very valuable. So how did that come about?
Sure. So our military program, as you know, like, we have a really big military population here in San Diego. And a lot of the families have very unique needs around, you know, recent deployments or parents reintegrating back into the family after having served overseas. And so a lot of times it's the kids who are really struggling with kind of that changing family dynamic. And so we've created a regular ongoing military program for youth of active duty military parents, where they can participate in regular outdoor adventures with Outdoor Outreach, and also connect with a consistent cohort of other youth who have active duty military parents. And so they can really, I think, feel the support where maybe they've just moved, they've been uprooted from another base across the country, they've just moved to San Diego. They don't wanna be here because everything's new, they don't have friends, they're struggling to adapt to a new life, they just wanna go back to where they came from, where their friends are. And so they're really looking for that sense of connection. And so we found that the outdoors can be a really powerful mechanism to connect them to this idea of identity. They can be themselves in the outdoors, and they can also connect with other kids who are going through the same things, and they can build friendships that can last far beyond our program. So I think it's been really exciting for us to feel like we're able to meet some of those needs here in San Diego with the military families that we serve.
That's just a wonderful program. So how do you keep up with the changing demographics? There's a lot of research. I mean, that's just a lot because there are so many new arrivals. So what are some of the tactics you use to keep abreast of all that?
Sure. So I think number one, understanding that Outdoor Outreach as an organization, we're not acting alone. We're a part of this much larger ecosystem of schools, families, services. And so we partner with over 40 different Title I high schools, middle schools, as well as youth serving organizations who are oftentimes serving specific demographics of youth. And so we work with them to help identify the participants that are coming into our program. So for instance, with some of the schools, we might be working with the school psychologists who are identifying the kids that need the most support. They're letting us know, they're kind of front loading with us, you know, what level of support do these youth need? What are they maybe struggling with or where they could use the most support? Similar, a lot of the youth serving organizations we work with, they might be an all-girl program. And so they'll talk with us about, you know, what are the best outings that we can run to serve that specific population of girls that are going through, you know, issues around their own sense of confidence, their own identity. And they want to make sure that those girls and young women can engage and connect with our staff. And so in that case, we might completely staff that outing with all female instructors from Outdoor Outreach to make sure that they feel, you know, safe and that they're benefiting and having the biggest impact from that specific outing.
Terrific. So how has your experience been working with the Fish and Wildlife Service, and what best practices would you recommend to other people who are looking to partner with a federal agency like that?
Sure. And I think I never would have guessed, I think coming into this position 5 years ago, that our strongest partner would be a federal agency, but it has been. I mean, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has been our strongest partner in really helping us to further our mission of connecting youth to the transformative power of the outdoors. And I think the way in which they've done that is they've come to us and they've said, listen, this is kind of the basic structure of our program, but we really want to be supporting the mission of what Outdoor Outreach is doing and the youth that you're serving. So how do you see this partnership looking? Like, these are, you know, the refuges that we have. These are the activities you can do on them. What do you want to do? What's the level of engagement that you think would have the highest impact with the youth that you're serving? And how can we help support that? So to have a partner that comes to us and wants to help us with our needs that we're identifying in the community, I think that's the number one recommendation I would give. Instead of having a potential partner that's very prescriptive in terms of, this is the program we run, you know, it's a cookie cutter program, it fits with everyone, you're gonna fit in this box. Instead, it's no, like, what are your needs? What are the needs of the youth that you serve? And how can we best connect them to our resources that we have within our refuge system and beyond? So we've been super excited. I can't, you know, give the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and the local folks that we've worked at here at the San Diego Refuge System, you know, more compliments, because I think they've done a tremendous job.
Great. So what do you see as your biggest challenge organizationally going forward? And how can organizations like the Refuge Association help further your mission?
Sure. So I think, you know, we run over 500 outings across the San Diego region. They're not all on wildlife refuges, right? And so we're finding that one of our biggest challenges is working across different land management agencies, whether it's state parks, county parks, you know, municipal parks, and it's just knowing how to navigate the different permits, the different processes by which we can get coastal campsites, for instance. And I think it would be awesome if we could use the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service's model and share that with other land management agencies about how best to engage community groups like Outdoor Outreach in order to serve critical community needs like youth development. And I think that I know that there's some momentum in terms of the other agencies looking to try to find best practice models. And I think in this urban partnership, urban refuge program, we have a fantastic model that we've actually been sharing with some of our other land management partners, like California State Parks. And we're hopeful that maybe they can implement, you know, a similar type system across the state of California for really how can the state park system better engage with community partners.
Terrific. Do you have any favorite or standout stories of kids in the program, like a particular participant who just really, for some reason, stands out in your mind? And it can be more than one. So,
I mean, I think a great example of a participant would be Luis Perez, who came into our program as a, I think he was a high school sophomore at El Cajon Valley High School. He never thought he would be doing any type of outdoor things. He participated for several years in our weekly after-school program there, and he gravitated towards rock climbing. Now he's an enthusiastic rock climber. He became an instructor for Outdoor Outreach, and actually just at the beginning of this year, he became our full-time leadership program coordinator. And just at the beginning of this month, he graduated from that program 13 young adults who are now eligible to become paid instructors for Outdoor Outreach. And so really kind of seeing that full circle from participant to instructor to full-time staff member, role model and mentor at Outdoor Outreach is, I think, you know, one of my favorite success stories. And yet now we have 15 other success stories where, you know, 15 other near full-time staff are graduates of the program and, you know, have the same role where they're now mentors, role models for the youth that are just coming into the program.
Yeah, that's wonderful to watch youth really from the initial touch point all the way to really making it a career is a remarkable thing to witness. So what brings out the kid in you? What was your aha moment when you knew you were going to do work like this? I know you kind of touched on it, but was there a specific moment, experience of the outdoors that made you want to go into this sort of work?
I think my just ongoing engagement with the outdoors, I think, one specific example in terms of the depth of connection that I've really felt and why I felt like I've had to make this a big part of my life. When I was in college at UCSD, for 2 years, I went back to Costa Rica and did field work in one of their national parks in northwestern Costa Rica. And I remember really focusing on kind of the conservation piece and why it was important to engage the local community in the conservation component of that national park, not just the research that we were doing around parrot communication. And I remember, you know, I would have dreams of all of a sudden coming back to the park I loved and seeing development there and seeing, you know, environmental impacts and just waking up crying because this place had now was so connected to my identity that I knew like I had to, you know, be a part of this process of helping others connect to these spaces to first see the value of them and then to be inspired and motivated to help in their protection. And so, you know, I really think that that's driven my work so far in kind of the nonprofit realm. And I'm one of the things that inspires me the most, I think, is now being able to connect others to that sense of inspiration and seeing what they're getting from it and seeing that now they're becoming environmental advocates and they're wanting to look at careers in land management or careers in environmental conservation and protection. To me, that's really how we're going to make all of this work, is that we're going to be inspiring the next generation who have a whole nother skill set, you know, than this generation, and they're going to be able to be the ones that address the challenges of the future. And so I see, you know, this urban refuge project as really, you know, being one of those keys to help leverage those community resources to help connect kids at the very front end to this value of the outdoors, by which they can have subsequent stepping stones into how are they going to become more engaged, and then, you know, how do they want to help protect the places where we play.
Terrific. We know funding is a major issue for every nonprofit. but I always like to ask the question is, what is your greatest wish for this organization? Like, if money was, if you had a $10 million grant, like, what would you do with that right now? Where would you like to see this organization when it comes time for you to sort of hand the reins over to someone else? What is your ultimate goal for Outdoor Outreach?
Definitely. So I would love to see an Outdoor Outreach program in every school within San Diego, where kids, you know, no matter what community they're from, they can access the outdoors through an after-school program. I think that would be fantastic. I think in order to get there, we're going to need to see a scaling up of outdoor outreach and our partners where, you know, right now we're, our base is right in the middle of San Diego. You know, we're 10 minutes east of downtown. And from here, we can travel with our 15-person passenger vans and pick up kids anywhere in the county and take them anywhere else. But it's not the most efficient way. And I would really love to see an outdoor outreach office in South County, one in East County, one in North County, so that we can really better serve kids locally and not have to be spending so much time driving everywhere. And I think there's the demand for it. We see from the kids that we're serving that they just want to know how they can get more involved, and our partners as well. And I think what we've been most excited about recently is some new innovative partnerships that we have and that we're currently developing. One is with actually the San Diego District Attorney's Office to look at how can we engage kids who they're identifying as at-risk youth, but how can we do that through the outdoors and really inspire them to get involved in positive activities that could potentially turn into a job at Outdoor Outreach for them. Another one is with Rady Children's Hospital, which looking at kind of the emotional, mental and behavioral health outcomes of our work. How can we inspire kids who might be going through, you know, some difficult medical diagnosis through the outdoors in an appropriate way that can then give them that inspiration to overcome the challenges that they're facing and see that positivity and opportunity through something like, you know, Sweetwater Marsh or the San Diego Wildlife Refuge. So I think looking at how can we integrate this outdoor engagement work into health providers, into more schools, into the juvenile justice system. All of those opportunities are really, really exciting for me because I think that's the way where we're gonna elevate the outdoors and wildlife refuges in our environment from a nice to have to meeting a critical need. Because we know it has the potential, we know it can do that. I have the direct experience, you know, in my personal life of that having a huge effect on me. And now at Outdoor Outreach, we have thousands of stories of youth coming to these amazing outcomes that have helped them become more successful adults through the outdoors. And so the more that we can leverage that message and get that message out, the better. And so really thank you for the opportunity to be able to share with this podcast, and hopefully more people hear that and they get inspired and they want to join the work that we're doing at Outdoor Outreach and do similar work across the U.S.
Yeah, maybe we'll see Outdoor Outreach pop up everywhere.
We'd love that.
What's one question you wish I had asked you?
That's a great question.
That's our fun one.
Yes. I think one would be kind of, maybe you did ask it, but it's another way to answer that question about kind of one of the challenges that we face. And I think it's a challenge that nonprofit organizations face a lot. And I think one answer is funding, and that's the obvious one. But I think an even bigger one is the perception that somehow nonprofits, they're just doing kind of nice to have work. You know, the more volunteers we can get, the better. And, you know, it's kind of just the thing to do in your spare time. And I would really encourage more people to see nonprofits as addressing some of the most difficult issues that we have within our communities that, for one reason or another, are not being addressed by private enterprise because maybe they're not profitable and maybe it's too difficult or it doesn't fit with, you know, the government agencies and the work that they're doing. And so, you know, I would encourage more people to try to give nonprofits their fair shake and to see them as oftentimes doing some of the most difficult work with the fewest resources. And I think the challenge that we face is around, you know, trying to recruit more people. You know, how do you recruit them away from, you know, going into the private sector? How do you recruit them coming to a nonprofit to want to join in the impact-driven work that we do? And I think one is kind of changing that perception of what a nonprofit does and what it stands for and how you can make a solid career out of working for a nonprofit.
Great. So how can people find out more about Outdoor Outreach, and where can they find you in social media?
Sure. So definitely check out Outdoor Outreach on our website, and it's outdooroutreach.org. You can also find us on Facebook and on Instagram, and all of our staff if you're interested, and also on LinkedIn if you're interested in careers in this space. And yeah, we'd love to connect with you.
Well, thank you, Ben, for joining us on this Refuge Radio podcast. And we hope to talk to you again sometime soon.
Excellent. Thanks for the opportunity, and keep up the good work. Thanks.
Right. Thank you. You do the same.